in the middle of the Rav Bashashan. We left off in the middle of the Rav Bashashan story. So a new dimension of the Rav Bashashan story, and a second dimension of the Rav Bashashan story. We're still trying to figure out the following question. We know what Rav Bashashan did. We know what his great plan was. We know why in the end of the day it failed and didn't work out so well. But we're still trying to understand what exactly he was thinking, what exactly he was planning. So we know that his basic idea was is that he wanted to create himself a situation from ego. He wanted to be able to collect the $10,000 that was rightfully coming to him anyway, that Al Pi Din he was really entitled to. He knew full well that if he's going to try to collect that money, he's not going to be able to collect because Kol HaBali Par Mirchsi Yisrael Par L'Bishvua, and he wasn't interested in taking a Shvua. So his grandiose plan was to be able to set up a situation where we'd have Amigo working in his favor. What would Amigo be? He would hold on to the land, which anyway he had been holding on to rightfully so, because it was a Mashkon, so if he has done anything wrong. So he wants to hold on to the land, and he wants to continue to hold on to the land past the termination, past the time of the end of the Mashkon. That's already a little bit shaky, but that's what he wanted to do. That would create his Amigo. So far, so good. It sounds like a great plan. Again, why it failed in the end, different story, hopefully later sugyas. But it sounds like a pretty good plan. Comes the Gemara, at least the way most of Rishonim, at least until now I've been reading the Gemara, is that there was one last nekuda to this plan. The last nekuda was, he wasn't going to come forward at the time that the Mashkon is actually over and present his Migo. Rather, he's actually going to continue to eat fruit of that land, quote-unquote, Shalai Kedin. I say that in parenthesis, quotation marks, quote-unquote, Shalai Kedin. He's going to continue to eat fruit, and only after he has finished eating the fruit, the value of what the Shtar Chov is anyway, then only then is he going to turn around to the Beis and is going to say, guess what? Now you want to take that fruit away from me because I ate it, quote-unquote, Shalai Kedin. Now I have a Migo on my side. So that is what he did, is that he actually ate the fruit to that value rather than coming forward at the beginning. How do we know that's what happened? That's simply simple pshat in the Gemara. But the Gemara says that Ach b'shel shtamishkan v'ochla shir zuzim. I'm going to eat the value of the zuzim, which sounds what he actually did, and then it only then be presented as migo. Which leads us to the question: why did he have to do it in such a roundabout way? Which in the end made him look bad. In the end made him look like he was eating karka v'yisomim. Why didn't he come straight forward to Beis and present the migo at the beginning? He would have had the migo. He had the same migo. The migo was l'kulcha v'yadi. So he could have said it from day one. That as soon as the termination of the Mashkin is over, Migo that I could sell a Kuch Liyadi, let me collect my $10,000. He's going to end up with the same $10,000 anyway. Why does he have to go eat the fruit first? So we spent a lot of time on Monday developing a Yisod in the name of at least some Rishonim, that although at least Rabbi Yona, that this would have been a problem of Migo Lahotzi. That was the problem. The problem was he was going to come forward, just straight forward at the beginning, and try to invoke Migo to get money. That's bad. Migo Lahotzi Le'amrinat. So we had a whole shtickle Torah. Is that really called the Migo Lahotzi? Not called the Migo Lahotzi, but the Shtar, not a Shtar, yet a Shtar. It seems that a lot of razzle dazzle Torah to it. But at the end of the day, the first Teretz of Rabbeinu Yonah stood as an independent Teretz, that Migo Lahotzi Le'amrinat. Ad kan divrei Rabbeinu Yonah, the first Teretz. Did we start the second Teretz? Did we even start it? Yeah. What? Without how far we get, I don't remember. It's been so long. What? Okay, good. Okay, good. So we do the second teretz. Good. So then we said the second teretz. It's been a long time with fleshy ovens in between. So then we said the second teretz in the name of also Rabbeinu Yonah said that no, that really could be that Migel Haitzi Kainam Rinan. But this is worse. Why is this worse? Because this is you want to use a Migo to pop you from taking a Shavua. That's a whole different ballgame with the Riff, Rabbeinu Fry, with the Riff, Gash, with the Rada. That's a whole separate problem, a second limitation of the Migos. Those are the first two terutzim that we spent Be'arichas on Monday with Da'as Rabbeinu Yonah. Comes Rabbeinu Yonah now with a third terutz. Third terutz we didn't start yet, right?
No.
Okay, good. Starts, come. That's what's supposed to say. Okay. Comes Rabbeinu Yonah with the third terutz. A totally, seemingly independent terutz. Comes Rabbeinu Yonah and says, I'll tell you why Rav Bashashim could not have come clean at the beginning. Could not have walked up to Bezin and say, let me continue to eat fruit. I'm sorry, let me continue. I'm sorry, let me collect the money, Migo, that I could have continued to stay on the land and eat the fruit. Why would that not have been an acceptable Migo? That would have smacked of a lot. What's the clue? Amigo what? Migo mi mamon la mamon. Migo means, believe me on mamon X with such and such a taina. Migo, I could have said about Mom and X, such a taina, such a taina. That's what Migo is. Migo is when the taina that I'm advancing and the Migo of the taina that I could have advanced are both within the same moment. Both within the same chefts of moment. There is no such concept as amigo mimamon lemamon. I cannot be believed to say about mamon X, migo, that I could have tied it up something about mamon Y. That's a violation of a cardinal rule of migo that Rabbi Yehuda just made up, called migo mimamon lemamon armir. Theophos is Rabbi Yehuda. Calls man that he hasn't eaten the fruit yet. He wants to be believed. Believe me, to collect $10,000 out of your pocket, that $10,000 is mamon X. The migo that I could have held on to the karka, holding on to the karka is mamon Y. How could you be believed? Migo mamon lemamon, mamon X to mamon Y. But once I eat the fruit already, so now the din Torah that I'm demanding, I'm no longer coming and saying, give me $10,000. I'm not being down on $10,000. The din Torah has been shifted to what? It's not cash out of the other guy's pocket. What is the din Torah revolving around now? Yisom was saying, hey, wait a second. Why did you eat the fruit of our land? The din Torah has been moved from the pocket of the assignment, from the cash, to the land itself, to the fruit of the land itself. So now comes Rabbi Shash and says, you want to take away the $10,000 of fruit that I just ate? Amigo, I could have said, L'kuchi b'yadi, and I would have been entitled to hold on to the fruit in the first place. So comes Rabbi Yehuda and says, by eating the fruit first, what Rabbi Bashashim's grandiose plan was, is that he was going to take it out of the realm of amigo and mum l'mum, which would not have been effective, and put it into the halakha category of amigo, but I said, mama, that would have been effective. That was the plan of Rabbi Bashashim. Again, as you said many times, Rabbi Bashashim didn't do anything that was illegal. He didn't take away anybody's cash. Maybe it was funny, maybe it was strange. That's why Abai, in fact, told him they should stop doing it, because it's not such a good idea for him to be doing it. But in terms of taking something that wasn't entitled to him, he was entitled to every single penny that he got, although he did it in a somewhat of a circumstantial way. So this is the third shot at the sugya. This is the third answer of Yehuda, invoking the halachic principle of migo mimamon lemamon. We're going to invoke this principle of migo mimamon lemamon to serve as really the key to why Rav Bashashim executed his plan the way he did. So we have to take a step back. We have to ask ourselves, well, do we really understand this principle of migo mimamon lemamon? If this is now critical in terms of understanding just Pshat in the Gemara, the words oich l'shir zuzik, to understand Pshat in those three words, oich l'shir zuzik, if we're not going to go to the migo l'hotzi root of Monday, we're not going to go to the migo of Shavua of Monday, we're taking an independent pshat called migo mimam l'mamon, so it really behooves us to try to define a little bit about what are the parameters of this halacha of migo mimam l'mamon, and is this sugya really a valid application of those principles of migo mimam l'mamon? So this is not the first time that we've seen migo mimam l'mamon. We've already been exposed to migo mimam l'mamon. Who remembers when we first discussed it? What? Babitzia daf of Beizim and Aleph, right? We had the Mishnah, the famous Mishnah, but the Mishnah says that we have Shnai Mopsi Batalis, and they're fighting about who owns the Talis, Zel Mekula Shali, Zel Mekula Shali. So each one has to take a Shavua that they own less than half, and they split it down the middle. That's the standard din in Shnai Mopsi. Then the Mishnah gives it a little bit of a complicated application of Shnai Mopsi, where one guy says Kula Shali, and the other guy says Chetzi Shali. So what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says, the part that's Chetzi Shali, so what happens to it? Who? The part that's chetzi shali, so that goes, what? So one half for sure goes to one of the people, right? Because I'm not even arguing on one of the halves. So one half for sure goes one back to the other guy, and then the other half that we're fighting about, what do we do? So yachleik, so it ends up, the mice with all the higher math, ends up one guy, ends up with 3/4 of the talis, the other guy ends up with 1/4 of the talis. So frektol, the Rishon Makashia, why is that true, that you split the talis in such a way? Why don't you believe the guy who says chetzi shali? Migo, that he could have said kula shali. If he would have said kula shali, he would have walked away with half the talis. So now that he says chetzi shali, he should also give him half the talis. That's the cash that the Rishonim are bothered with. So we saw that some of the Rishonim gave the Torah. Didn't we talk about this? Yeah. Give us a mess, okay? So some of the Rishonim said, no, the answer to that question is what? It's a migo b'mamon l'mamon. It means we're being done on one half of the talis. So how can you say, give me half the talis, migo, I could have asked for the other half of the talis? That's like a violation of going from moment X to moment Y, the two halves of the talis, two different momentness. So come some Rishonim and say, that's a problem, that's called amigo mimamon lemamon. We spoke about this with the Mordechai, that's called amigo mimamon lemamon. It's just interesting that there were other Rishonim who answered that same kasha by saying, no, the reason why that Migo is no good, what did Taisa say? Why is that Migo no good? Because it's Migo Hotzi. So it's just interesting. It's just kind of coincidental that the same way the Rishonim are arguing out here on Lamed Gimel, Lamed Aleph, as to why Rav Bar Shashim did what he did, why didn't he come forward at the beginning? So some Rishonim pinned it on Hilchas Migo Hotzi. And I mean, that was the first Teretz of Rabbeinu Yonah. And the third Teretz of Rabbeinu Yonah is pinning it on Migel and Mamun. So it's just interesting. Again, I'm not saying it's Lashit Tosa, not Lashit Tosa. It's interesting that the same way that Rishonim had a problem with Bava Basra Deflam and Gimel, understanding the Rav Bar Shashim scenario, the Rishonim had a problem in Bava Metzia Davez and Aleph, understanding why do you split the Talas 3/4 to a quarter. So in both of those sugyas, both of these complicated sugyas, both of these confusing sugyas, so one group of Rishonim opted for the Migel Hotzi route, and the other half of the Rishonim opted for the Migel Mamun Lamamun route. So again, just interesting. But getting back to our story. So there is a klal called Migel Mamun Lamamun, at least the way some Rishonim understood Migel Mamun Lamamun. So Rabbeinu Yonah is free in the third answer to apply this principle of Migel Mamun Lamamun. He's free to apply it, assuming that it's true. Assuming that there is such a klal called Migel Mamun Lamamun. Assuming that this case meets the criteria of Migel Mamun Lamamun. What do I mean by that? There is a Gemara a little bit later on about Daf Lamed Vav. You know, if I had Ruach HaKodesh and I knew that we would make it to Daf Lamed Vav, I would have spared some of the discussion right now. I'm a little bit concerned we're never going to make it to Daf Lamed Vav because we've got a long way to go still in Lamed Gimel, Lamed Dal, Lamed Hey. So I don't know what's going to be by the end of the year. Who knows what we're going to learn in Jews, man. So there's so many fakers, too many fakers going on. So we better talk about Lamed Vav right now. Can't learn. Otherwise, they'll say, so let's give a Shir Chas about it for a whole year. No one heard of the Sugya of the Izei Ben Hardo, the Eight Techushleis. They'll say I was Peshea as a Rebbe. So I have to tell over the Sugya of Lamed Vav. So comes the Gemara, it's important for now anyway, not just not the case. Comes the Gemara of Lamed Vav, a very, very famous Sugya in Daf Lamed Vav. We have to understand that Gemara in light of this Rabbeinu Yonah in Daf Lamed Gimel. I put it in the Marmar Kremis, right? Okay, good. So we can say we all want it. It comes to Gemara Lamed Vav Amrav, Hano Izei the Achlu Chushla Ben Hardo. There were these goats that ate Chushla. What a Chushla? What?
Barley?
I don't know. Who knows? Whatever they want. Okay, barley. The Rishpam says barley. Good, whatever it was. Okay, they ate Chushla Ben Hardo. Also, Bari Chushla. So the owner of the Chushla is now get a claim in Beis Din that the owner of the goats has to pay. Why does the owner of the goats have to pay? What's that called?
Shame.
That's the hezek of shame. That's one of the Arba Ovis Nezigen. Okay? That's the Torah says, Kiyav, Yisod, Deucher, Vishilach, Yisod, Deucher. So Vishilach refers to regular, when an animal walks in my field, and so your field and tramples your crops, and Uviyah Bistiacher refers to eating with the Nezik that's called shame. Good. So there's no question that the Mazik, the owner of the goats, is going to have to pay. That's not Shaila. The shayla is how much is he going to have to pay? What's the problem? The problem is we have no idea, because we have no idea exactly how much they ate. So now we already see a dinteri developing. The nizik is going to claim some exorbitant amount of money, and the mazik is going to say, nah, not necessarily, and we're going to start to be fighting it out. We're going to start to have modernitzis and shvuas. We're going to have all kind of problems here in terms of determining just how much nizik was done. So the owner of the chushla was smart. He already learned Bava Kama, so he figured out what to do. He figures, also by the chushla, tafsinu, and he grabs the goats. Okay, that's the first thing he does. He grabs the goats themselves. Why did he grab the goats? Bava katoin tuva. And now he's being towing, now he's being teveya, a large amount of money. Now, we don't really know whether he's telling the truth or not, right? So, l'chora, it's his word against the other guy's word. So what should we have paskin? Let's say, leaving out the grabbing of the goats for a second. L'chora, we should have paskin that the owner of the goats is claiming, let's say, for I would take $1,000, and the mazik is being molded to $300. What would we have said? Let him pay the $300, take a shvu on the rest, and call it a day, right? But it makes us. That's what we would see. That's what seems to be about to develop. But the nizik changed all that by grabbing onto the goats. How did it change all that? So Amravu the Shmuel. So the case came in front of Shmuel's father, and comes up with Shmuel and says, "Yochalitan ad kedei demehen." The ibayom lekukasein biyadi. Comes up with Shmuel and says, "The fact that the nizik now has the goats in his hand, that gives him the upper hand in his dinter. Why? He can now go ahead and claim, you know how much damage of the chushli he can claim? Up to what the value of the goats is. So let's say the goats, for argument's sake, cost $1,500. So the nizik is not a liar. He really thinks that the nizik was $1,000. So he's going to say, I claiming that the chushta was worth $1,000, and the mazah is going to deny it. So what we thought before would have been a regular maidah mikzos, the mazah would have paid part and he had an offer the shvuah, comes up with the shvuah and says everything has changed now. Because the nizik now has a migo in his back pocket. What's his migo in his back pocket? What could he have said about these goats? I bought the goats. They're my goats. And nobody could have stopped him. Why could nobody have stopped him? Because when you hold on to metalklin, what are you? You're a muksuk metalklin. No one's going to take away your metalklin. I can't take away your shirt. So if I'm holding on to the goats, then mine getting finished. So the Gemara talks about some technical detail. Is that true with goats? Goats walk around. Maybe it's not a right. Okay, we're not learning godrus right now. Suffice it to say that the Gemara seems to, working with the assumption, that if we can construct a scenario that the nizik would have a tainus lakuach, if that would be true, again, we may have to touch up the case a little bit, but if we would have a scenario where the nizik would be ne'emah to say lakuach, then he is automatically ne'emah to say what the value of the chushle were. Ad kan devrei Gemara. We have a problem, Rabbi Say. We have a very, very serious problem with this Gemara. What's the serious problem with this Gemara? This Gemara is a classic violation of a what? Of a migo rimbamun lamamun. You can't be more mammon than mammon than this. Why? We're having a din Torah about chushli. Having a din Torah about the value of barley. I'm saying it's worth $1,000. You're saying it's worth $500. We're fighting over the value of what the nezik was. What do? I come from left field. I hold on to your goats. And I say, believe me, what the value of the barley is. Migo, I could have tied it that I bought the goats from you. Not even goats, it's a barley. One is X and one is Y. A classic violation of migo and mammon than mammon. So who asked this kasha? Who's the first person to be sensitive to ask this kasha? Rabbi Yehoni asked this kasha. Rabbi Yehoni asked this kasha himself. Everyone saw the Rabbi Yehoni? Everyone saw it? Comes Rabbi Yehoni in Lamed Gimel and he says, wait a second. He says, I just got finished telling you that the reason why Rava Bar Shashim had to first eat the fruit and then come to Beis Din a year later was because otherwise it would have been a violation of Migo Mimamon Lamamon. Because to come forward and to say, I bought the field, therefore believe me that you owe me $1,000, Migo, I could have said I bought your field, that's Mamon Lamamon. So Rav Bar Shashim was forced to eat the fruit first to create the Din Torah, to transform the Din Torah not over to the $10,000 of cash, but to transform the Din Torah into a Din Torah over the fruit, in order to circumvent the problem of Migo Mimamon Lamamon, and that was the whole point of Lamed Gimel. Rabbi Yehoni saw in these words, in these magic words in Daf Lamed Gimel, Eichla Shir Zuzi, Frek Rabbi Yehoni, why did he have to eat the Shir Zuzi? What was he trying to accomplish? So yesterday he gave one answer, and the other day he gave another answer, but now we're working as an independent answer. The reason, right now, according to Rabbi Yehoni, is looking at this Gemara through the eyes of the Chisaron of Migo Mimamon Lamamon. If this is the reason why Rabbi Bar Shashim ate the fruit was to avoid any problems of Migo Mimamon Lamamon, what happened to Lamed Vav? Lamed Vav Amunaf, what, the Gemara forgot in Lamed Gimel? When Avud the Shmuel gave his psak about the Chushle in Nahardah, he forgot what it says in Daf Lamed Gimel? He didn't learn the Rabbi Yehoni's in Daf Lamed Gimel? He didn't realize that there's a problem with Migo Mimamon Lamamon? He never learned Daf Bezim and Avim of Metziah? What was Avud the Shmuel thinking? How could Avud the Shmuel give this Baal HaIzim, or say, give the Baal HaChushle, amigo, Migo, we're going to believe you how much the chushle was worth. Migo, you could have said that the goats are yours. Ain't the violation. Migo, mama, call me zeh. This is the kasha, Rinyan. Everyone saw the kasha inside? Everyone realized the kasha? No? Obvious, right? Obvious kasha. What's the answer? What's the answer to this kasha? What's the answer to this dilemma? How could it be? On Daf Lamed Gimel, it's called the Migo Mimamon Lamamon, implied by the fact that he ate the fruit first. Lamed Vav Amunaf, it's clear that it's not a problem, Migo Mimamon Lamamon. There's one word that changes everything, says Rabbi Yehoni. There's one word that transforms what would otherwise have been a Migo Mimamon Lamamon into a Migo B'Yaseh Mamon. What's the magic word? One word. What? What is it? I can't hear. One word that changes everything. Nobody saw Rabbi Yehoni. Bro, what have you been doing the last day? Come on. Have you seen Rabbi Yehoni? Huh? More than Tafsinim. More than Tafsinim. More than Mukhsak. One word. I bet I missed the most important word in Rabbi Yehoni. Say? Mashkon. Did Rabbi Yehoni say Mashkon? Rabbi Yehoni said Mashkon. A new word. We never heard of that word since Monday. We never heard of the word Mashkon. Comes Rabbi Yehoni and says, "And the Flamid Vavam and Aleph, when the Baal chushle is toe-faced the goats. Why is he toe-faced the goats? What do you mean he's toe-faced the goats? What are you talking about, he toe-faced the goats? He's clearly being toe-faced the goats as what? As a mashkin. The Baal HaEzim didn't necessarily have this whole thing planned out. I think the Baal HaEzim really, really understood this intricacies of Migo and Migo Lahotzi. He knew the whole Rabbeinu Yonah, love Dafka. The Baal HaKushle, I'm sorry. Baal HaKushle is a regular guy. He's a farmer in Ahardah. He doesn't know anything about me. He never heard of Migos. But he knows one thing, that if somebody owes you money and you hold on to his goats, you've got a better chance of getting that money back. So a guy backs into you, guy's car smashes into you, and you can get his car away from him and say, I'm holding on to this. I'm not saying you should or shouldn't. I'm holding on to your car until you pay. You got a much better chance of getting paid. Mashkon, this guy understood. He was a big guy, this farmer. He knew about Mashkon. He knew, if I'm holding on to your goats, you're probably going to pay me back. And in a certain sense, he was justified. Now again, whether you're supposed to do this, whether you're even allowed to do this, but in a certain sense he's justified, because after all, there is a parasha in the Torah called Mashkon. Where's the parasha in the Torah called Mashkon? Where is it? It's a little bit in Mishpatim, a little bit in Kiseitse, right? There are parashas in the Torah called Mashkon. The Torah understands, the Torah sanctions the halachas of Mashkon. Somebody owes me money, Isaac owes me $1,000, there are halachas that sometimes I'm allowed to take as mashkon. There are limitations. I'm not allowed to just barge into his house. I have to go through the mechanism of Beis Din. And if it's a mashkon that's his pajamas, I have to give it back to him at night. And an almana, I'm not allowed to take her mashkon. And if it's somebody's rechaim varachav, something that they need for business, I'm not allowed to take. So there's a lot of targus, a lot of details, a lot of halachas as to when and how and if and when I'm allowed to take a mashkon. But at the end of the day, there is a parasha of Mashkon. Mashkon is a very powerful parasha. To such an extent, the Gemara even says that if, let's say, Isaac owes me $1,000 and I get a Mashkon from him, right? In the right way, right? I did it properly through the mechanism. Based on everything, I have a Mashkon now. So Isaac owes me $1,000. I'm holding on to a piece of jewelry of his that's a Mashkon. You know what the Gemara says about that? What is the Gemara saying, Kedushin Dav Ches, about that? What is the Gemara saying, Psachim Naflam Ad Aleph, about that? Minayin Lawat? Minayin Lebal Chayv, that what? Minayin Lebal Chayv Shekone Mashkon. I own the Mashkon to a certain degree in Halacha. I have a certain bias on a Mashkon. Mashkon is not a game. Mashkon is a change in Dinim Hominis. When I take that jewelry from Isaac that I'm holding on to L'Chayv temporarily, I am to a certain degree an owner of that Mashkon. It belongs to me. How do we know I'm an owner of that Mashkon? How do we know? Who remembers the Gemara Kiddush of Ches? Who remembers Pesachim Naflam Ad Aleph? Next year. Comes the Gemara and says, "I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Minayin lebal chayv shekone mashkon? How do you know that when I take a mashkon, rightfully so, that I'm a partial owner of, I'm to some degree an owner of that mashkon? The Torah says there's a mitzvah for me to return the mashkon under certain circumstances. What? Let's say the guy needs it at night, right? I take the guy's pajamas, so I have to give it back to him at night. What does the Torah say about the person who returns the mashkon? What does the Torah say to him? Ulechati etzdaqal lifnei Hashem lekecha." He said, by returning the mashkon to Isaac, by giving him back his pajamas at night, the Torah says, I'm a bal tzedakah. We give you maftiyon if you're being a big bal tzedakah. L'chati yetzdaqah v'rachach Hashem l'kecha, l'chati yetzdaqah l'fnei Hashem l'kecha. The Baruch Hashem calls you a bal tzedakah. It says Rabbi Yitzchak, if the mashkon isn't yours, you can't be yotzei tzedakah with somebody else's money. If I steal from the rich and give to the poor, we call that Robin Hood. We don't call that tzedakah. Tzedakah means to take my own money and give it away to somebody else. So the Torah calls the returning of a mashkon an act of tzedakah. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Zevin Fando Achayshin Mishpat Alocha. There's a din in that statement. Munach in that statement. L'chati etzedakah l'fnei Hashem l'kecha. That about chayv is kainem mashkon, and there are ramifications and consequences in hilchos chayshin mishpat that emanate from that. That spill over to other areas of alocha as well. Just to rattle off a few. The Gemara says in Kiddushin Dav Ches, if you're mekadesh anisha with a mashkon, what's the din? She's mekadeshes. Because it's my mashkon. I'm the owner of this jewelry. It's not Isaac's anymore. I'm having it as a mashkon. It's mine. If I'm a kaddish at Nisha, then woman's mekudeshes. Comes the Gemara Pesachim Daf Lamed Aleph and says, if a goy gives me a mashkon, and the mashkon happens to be chametz, that's my problem by Ravei Motze, because I'm cutting the mashkon. Comes the Gemara Gittin, Daf Lamed Vav, and says, if somebody owes me money, and now comes the Shnas HaShmita, but I have a mashkon, so the chob is not mishnamit. You know why the chob is not mishnamit? Because I collected it already. It's already mine. It's in my pocket. So there are dinim kama v'kama v'kama sugyos about shas that work with this premise that taking of a mashkin is a real thing. It really has nafka meaning. Kashim mishpat comes to Ben Yoin and says it's the parsha of mashkan that changes the sugya from daf lamed gimel to daf lamed vav. In lamed vav, when the person takes the izim, he's taking it for teres mashkan. Get it? Whether he should have, shouldn't have, was rightly. Not discussing right now. Tachlis, he's holding on to it as mashkan. Says Rabbeinu Yoina, when you're holding on to the izim b'teres mashkan, what's in these izim in effect? What is these izim representative of? They're no longer goats walking around with tails and beards. What are they? What is it? It's the what? It's the chov. That's what it is. It's the chov. This is the way you collect the chov. But I'm holding on to the $100 of jewelry. Why am I kind of the jewelry? Because I own the chov. Ice calls me $100. So when he gives me a ring, that ring is the $100. So comes Rabbeinu Yoin and says, when I'm holding on to something because it's mashkon, the mashkon and the chov merge to become one. It's one entity. This is, I'm holding on to the chov. So now that I just created this new equation called izim equals chov, who you tell me, Rabbi Say? Is this a mumble or not? What's the din Torah? I'm demanding that you pay me $100 for a chov. What's the chov for? Because you ate my, your goat ate my izim. Your goat ate my chushlin. So I'm coming to you with a claim for $100. And what's my claim going to be? What's my powerful claim? Migo, I could have said that I mamish own this goat. Migo, that I could say that I own the goat. L'kuchi b'yadi, I'm entitled to the chov. I'm going to win the dintar and the chov. This is not a mamon l'mamon, this is the osim mamon. This is the same thing. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. Fantastic. Unbelievable you saw in Daf Lamed Vav. It's so great that it's guilty of what? It's guilty of overkill. Why is it guilty of overkill? What? So why don't you say the same thing on Daf Lamed Gimel? It's so gevaldig, it's so geschmack. Say the same thing on Daf Lamed Gimel. You say it on Daf Lamed Gimel. Formulate for me on Daf Lamed Gimel. He wants to formulate Daf Lamed Gimel for me. Comes Rav Bashashim, and he's claiming that the Yisomim owe him $10,000. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, he had to eat the fruit first, because otherwise it's going to be a violation of Bigam Imam Lamama. No! Ask Rabbeinu Yonah on his Yisoid. Based on the Yisoid of Mashka, I just told you Daf Lamed Vav, he didn't have to eat the fruit first. He could have come forward at the beginning. He could have walked up to the Yisoid and said, listen, I'm not going to eat this fruit now. But I have the field. What's the field of what? What's the word? I didn't make up the word. What did the Gemara say? Mashkanta. It's a mashka. You know what mashkanta means? Mashkanta is the Aramaic word for mashka. So he has a mashka. Once you have a mashka, that's no longer a violation of Bikur Mamon. So let this karka serve as a mashka for the $10,000. It now becomes one merged, becomes one and the same with the $10,000. Rabbeinu Yonah, I have a problem. Why did Rabbi Shashra have to eat one bite of fruit? He should have not eaten the fruit. Why did he have to do something that looks unethical by eating the fruit? He should have come forward to Beis and said, listen, I got a mashkon in my pocket. Okay? I'm sitting on this mashkon right now. This mashkon is one and the same with the $10,000 that the Yisrael owe me. Believe me that they owe me $10,000. Migo could have said, this karka is l'kuchi b'yodi. So for every place that the Gemara in Daf Lamed Vav says izim, just cross out the word izim and put in the word karka. That's the same you say. It's the same you say. What's the difference? What? So, I'm holding on to it now. The Torah's mashka. I just turned around and turned it into... That chob is over already. The mashkanta desu is over already. Now I'm holding this as a mashka for the other chob. It's a mashka for the other chob now. What do you mean? The first of all is over. It was already paid back. Mishlam Zuz Shana Dinan. It's already over. Mashkanta desu. So now I'm holding on to this piece of land. I'm holding it as a mashka. What's the difference? But I went in and I grabbed the mashkon to hold on. I grabbed the izim to hold on to the chushleis. So, what? So what?
So he
was never tofis. What you need? Halacha, hili zum l'tayim mitzvah zeshes tzitzis mashkon. Right now, I'm saying, good. It was a mashkon for the last of one. Now the mashkon's over. It's now a new mashkon. Yeah, new tvisa. Ma'isa tvisa mashkon. That's too much. So what's pshat? What's the difference? There's only one difference. Everybody say. What do you mean, Tfisa? What do you say? Okay, I'm Tfis the Karka. I'm Tfis the Karka.
done.
I'm typhus, but I'm typhus to kaka.
I had no idea.
So what's the answer? The answer is back to the first day of Shia, Rabbi Sai. Opening day of Shia Chestabatim. What? You can't be typhus karka. There's no such thing as tfisan karka. So what does that mean? What's the corollary of that statement? There's no such thing as tfisan karka. Then there's no such thing as what? As mashkaran karka. Doesn't the Gemara call it mashkanta? That's a borrowed phrase. That's not halachic mashka. The concept of holding on to a piece of land as collateral in halacha doesn't exist. It exists in Bas of Adam, Beinenu, and Dini Maminus. We'll figure out an Eitzah. I'm holding on to the land. I'll eat the fruit, ribbis, all things. That's all cute. But the din of Mashkan, the pure halachic concept of Mashkan, that the Mashkan becomes Mamish one with the Chov, that doesn't exist in Karka, because you can't be Teufes, a piece of Karka. You can't be Teufes, the Mashkan of Karka. Who said all this? Where did all this come from? Who said this, you said? Rabbeinu Yonah says black. He doesn't say it's black and white. What? Did I make this up? Who saw Rabbeinu Yonah? Does Rabbeinu Yonah say this? Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? 100%, right? Not a shadow, right, Ben? He says it 100%. Rabbeinu Yonah's thrust is Karka is not the same as Metatlin. Only Metatlin is subject to the Chiddush of Tlaf Lamed Vav, not Karka, and that's the difference between Rabbi Bashashim and Avud Shmuel's Choshleis. That is the only difference at all according to the third tense. Right? So far so good, Jeremy, right? Says it, Befevish, right? Rabbi Say, I have to do something that I'm always pained to do, but we do it anyway. It's called Emes Yeridarkoi. Tairihi Olam Dani Tzarech. I have to disagree with somebody very great, much greater than me. Not even in the same, can't even say the same ballpark, not in the same league. Who is that? The Heiliger, Heiliger who? Shach. The Shach, who finished writing his parish at the age of 24. The Shach, who didn't live past 40-something, and spent half his life running away from pogroms, and still was able to write the Shach. You have to, with trepidation, you have to disagree with the Shach. But you have to do it. Comes the Shach, a long, long Shach, in Simen Kuf Nun, and quotes Rabbeinu Yonah's Pshat, in our sugya, quotes this third teretz of Rabbeinu Yonah, and asks the Shach a powerful question on the third teretz of Rabbeinu Yonah. Comes the Shach and says, wait a second, you're telling me that this would be a violation of Migo B'mamon L'mamon? Really? That's the reason why Rabbi Bashashim couldn't come forward at the beginning. Well, he had to wait till he ate the fruit because he was concerned. And Migam Mamon Mamon, Frek the Shacha Kasha, Kusha Tsuma, Bomb Kasha. What's the Bomb Kasha? What are you going to do with Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph? The Ize Benahar Do'a. The Shach had Ruach HaKadosh. What did he have Ruach HaKadosh? He was Mechavin to Rabbeinu Yonah's Kasha. Now, if a guy in Shia would be Mechavin to Rabbeinu Yonah's Kasha, I would scream at you that you didn't bother looking at Rabbeinu Yonah. You can't hold the Shach responsible for that. Why? He didn't have Rabbeinu Yonah. All the Shach had was a Tor's quotation of Rabbeinu Yonah. The Tor quotes Rabbeinu Yonah's Pshat in Chayshim Mishpat, his Pshat in Asugya. The Tor is writing a Sefer Halach, he's not writing a Shtukl Torah, he's not writing a Perish and Shas, so he doesn't bother quoting that the Shach, Rabbeinu Yonah himself asked the question and gave the answer. But the Shach read the Rabbeinu Yonah as quoted by the Tor, his Pshat in Asugya. And the Shach on his own Baruch HaKadosh thought of this question. Hey, wait a second. What are you telling me a story in Daf Lamed? Give me what happened to Daf Lamed Vav. What's the difference? And we're waiting with our mouths open. Waiting for the Shach to give what teretz? The difference between what and what? Karka B'Tatla. That's all we're waiting for. Eagerly awaiting. You can wait. I'd be as Goyal. Because the Shach himself says, it is inconceivable. He says this. It is inconceivable to be mechalik between Karka and B'Tatla. He says, there's no way. He can't be mechalik. Either it's a mashkan, it's not a mashkan. If it's a mashkan on Daf Lamed Vav, then it's a mashkan on Daf Lamed Gimel. If it's not a mashkan on Daf Lamed Gimel, it ain't a mashkan on Daf Lamed Vav. Says the Shach to Rabbeinu Yonah, is so difficult, it is impossible to understand. What karka? What's a karka? What's a karka? Karka, metalplan, mashkan, what? He never heard of this mashkan story. Says the Shach, Yitaychom Rakusha, I'm going to tell you the answer what Mestam Rabbeinu Yonah held, which we know is not the correct answer. But says the Shach, I'm going to tell you what Mestam Rabbeinu Yonah held. and this is the teretz that the Shach gives. It may not be Rabbeinu Yonah it holds. It may other Rishonim hold this way, but it's not Rabbeinu Yonah. Comes the Shach and says, you know what the answer, you know what the difference between Lamed Gimel and Daf Lamed Vav is? It's based on the following difference. The Yesod of Daf Lamed Vav, what we have to do in Daf Lamed Vav is make an equation. Of course, we don't have a marker. We have to make an equation. What's the equation of Lamed Vav? In order to get us out of the problems of Migum Mamon Lamamon, we have to make one simple equation. What's that equation? I haven't heard the word Mashkin yet. Just on Daf Lamed Vav. Almost. Easy equals Chushli. That's the equation that we need. Izeh equals Chushli. Now, we already know how Rabbeinu Yonah accomplished that, really. We're at one step ahead of the Shach. Rabbeinu Yonah accomplished that by invoking the parasha of Mashkin. The Shach didn't have Rabbeinu Yonah, never heard of the word Mashkin in the sugya. So comes the Shach and says, I'm going to look for another way to make this equation. A less dramatic way in Halacha. A much more practical way. That Izeh equals Chushli. How do you do that? How do you make Izeh equals Chushli? Where's the chushli now? Who ate the chushli? You think it's a joke? There's a Rav Yoh that says that. The Mordechai in Bamitzia quotes a Rav Yoh that says that don't ask many kashas in Daf Lamed Vav, because in Daf Lamed Vav, the Izeh ate the chushli. Where are the chushli? They've been broken down, the metabolism of the Izeh's bodies have broken down the chushleis, and now the amino acids of the chushleis are now formed the cells and the nuclei of the... I don't know what I'm talking about. But that's what the Shach says. That's what the Shach quotes in the Rav Yoh. Pretty without the leaving out the nuclear acids, whatever. That's pretty much what he says. He says, Izeh the Ochle chushlei is the exception to the rule. The Shach never heard of the halachic term mashkon in this sugya. He heard of mashkon plenty, but not in this sugya. Not because of the mashkon, because practically, physically, in Olam Hazeh, it's a very Olam Hazeh oriented Shach. Because in Olam Hazeh, in the world of Bosa Adam, the Izeh ate the Chushli. And therefore, when you Teveya the Chushli, what you're really being Teveya, what are you really being Teveya when you want your Chushli back? You're being Teveya, part of the Izim in a sense. Migui could have said Izim, Wallah Kuach Biyadi. As I state in Rav Yoh, Mordechai quotes a Rav Yoh that says this. The Shach says, "B'tachom Rakushan Rabbeinu Yonah Stor Pshat." This is the answer for the Halig Rabbeinu Yonah. This is the difference between Lamed Gimel and Daf Lamed Vav. On Lamed Vav, the easy ate the Chushli, and Daf Lamed Gimel, the land didn't eat the Chol with the Yisayim. That physical connection doesn't exist. That physical equality equation doesn't exist. That's the answer to Rabbeinu Yonah. It's a gewaltige teretz, it's an unbelievable teretz, assuming that we don't have the real teretz of Rabbeinu Yonah. We, Baruch Hashem, have been zeichet to the real teretz of Rabbeinu Yonah. We realize right away that which the Shach didn't want to say, the Shach was befeirish, he's strong about this. He says, there's no svar l'chalak between karkel and metalklin. Rabbeinu Yonah says there is a svar l'chalak. And it's hilchos mashkan that's mechalak between them. So, kol ponim, we have a pshat in Rabbeinu Yonah. We have this third pshat in Rabbeinu Yonah as a beautiful, independent, standing pshat. Forgetting about Migel Lahoitzi and forgetting about Migel for Lifto Meshvua, it's a third pshat as to why Rabbi Shasham didn't come forward at the beginning. But because he was concerned with Migel Mamon Lamamon, we raised the question, what happened in the Lamed Vav? Isn't that a classic Migel Mamon Lamamon? So we said, it's got to be different. Lamed Vav's got to be different. What's the difference? Either Rabbeinu Yonah's difference, the real difference between Kakamus Metaltim and Teres Mashkan, or the Shach is claiming Rabbeinu Yonah, may not be Rabbeinu Yonah, but it may be other Mishayim, that one is physical Achle, one is not physical Achle, and that's the difference. It's not my discovery, the fact that the Shach didn't have Rabbeinu Yonah. All the later Rechavarim point out that Achshev Shezachinu Ledivra Rabbeinu Yonah, we realize that the Shach said is not the Pshat of Rabbeinu Yonah. Maybe independently true for other Mishayim, but it's not Rabbeinu Yonah. So far, so good. So what do we have, everybody say? We still have three Pshatim. We still have two of Rabbeinu Yonah for Monday, one of today, to explain the same phenomena, why Rabbi Shasham didn't come forward to begin. Before we continue on to the next answer, we have to take this a little bit of a parenthesis. Hova Asa Liyad, the name of Amilsa. You know, we spent so much time, the last 20 minutes, talking about that Gemara Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph. I can't avoid asking a question. Everyone should have asked already. Forgetting about the ramifications from Migum Ram Lamam and Migum Lahotzi, forget about all that. Anyone understand the Gemara Daf Lamed Vav? What did the Gemara say? The Lamed Vav again? What is that Migo? Migo, believe me how much the value of the chushla is. Migo, I could have sell the kuchi biyadi. Is that smack of a problem, Migo? What kind of problem is that? We should know already enough about chushla migo to know why that migo is problematic. There should be something that should be eating away at us in this migo, no pun intended. What? He claims he knows how much it was. No, what's the problem with this migo, Beze? I have two claims in front of me. One claim is to say that this is how much the chushlis were worth, and the other one is to say that you sold me the izim.
The underlying claim isn't stronger.
It would have been won. If I would have sold the kuch, I would have won. I would have won. I would have won. If I would have sold the kuch, I would have won.
They're sort of contradictory
to each other. I mean, every migo is always like that. Believe me, an F. They could have said why. Is that a migo of my friend? What was a migo of my friend?
He admitted
that he stole the goats. He hasn't said anything yet. He hasn't said anything yet in Basin. What's the problem with this migo?
If the goats are his, then how can he claim that someone else's goats ate his barley?
I mean, that's what the Migo, you're right, they both can't be true. Right, okay, but that's true, okay. But I don't know that it undermines the Migo. What's the problem, everybody? Come on, we've seen this cloud time and time again. For me to say that, listen, mister, you weren't there either. You don't know how much the goats ate, right? But the other guy's really also not sure how much the goats ate. Nobody really knows how much the goats ate. So for me to say, listen, your goats ate $500 worth of chushli, does that take tremendous amount of chutzpah? No. For me to say, you sold me the goats, look you straight in the eye and say, you sold me the goats. Does that take a tremendous amount of chutzpah? It takes a tremendous amount of chutzpah. You know why? Because in the first case, when I say the goats ate X amount, the other guy doesn't really know for sure. We call Ein Halo Maka B'Shikro. The other guy doesn't know that I'm lying. When I say you sold me the goats, the guy says, wait a second, I don't even know who you are. I never sold you any goats. Ein Lecha Sheker, Ein Lecha Chutzpah Golem Izo. Rabbi Yisrael, what do we call that? That's a classic Migud HaAzah. Everybody knows Migud HaAzah Lam Rina. What kind of Migud is that? Forget about all the other problems of Migud HaAzah and Migud Mamla Mammon and 5 trillion other problems with the Flam Mivav. How could anybody here let me continue this year and didn't jump on me and say it's a Migud HaAzah, Migud HaAzah. Everybody knows Migud HaAzah Lam Rina. Right? Don't we know Migud HaAzah Lam Rina? Who pulled that one over you? Who told you Migud HaAzah Lam Rina? Tysus. Which Tysus told you Migud HaAzah Lam Rina? Which Tysus? Where? What sugya? We just talked about the other day. Amar Rabba. Bibnei ma'amra Torah ma'idah mitzatani yeshava. Why does it ma'idah mitzatani have to swear? Let him be believed. Migo, they could have been kaifer akol. Famous Gemara. Daf Gimel and Bav Metziah. Daf Yilchazim Silbes. We just went through this the other day. It's in 6 different places in Shas. It's a Migo. Believe every ma'idah mitzatani. Why does he have to take a shvua? Believe him. Migo, he could have been kaifer akol. What was Rabba's answer? The famous phrase? No. Ein other may is bana b'fnei ba'al chayvai. What does that mean? Translate, it's a migo de ozo. It's a bad migo. It's not an effective migo. Because a person would much rather be maid of miktas, which wouldn't be such a ha'ozo, because maid of miktas, the guy could say, I really gonna admit this much, but I'm gonna ishtemutika mishtamit, I'll pay the rest later. It's not such a ha'ozo. To say, koifra ko is a ha'ozo. It's such a chutzpah gedol, to look a guy in the face and say, you! I never saw you before. You never saw me. I just lent you $10,000. I never saw you. Never met you. I don't know who you are. So the Gemara says, amigo, that is amigo da oz, amigo that requires the other time to be a chutzpah de katayna. People don't like to be mechutzofim. Everybody knows that. People are pretty straight. No, most people don't like to say chutzpah things. At least before the days of Mashiach. Before chutzpah yas. So comes the Gemara with favorish according to Taisus and says, amigo da oz, Loi Amrina. Who remembers the Rosh? Remember? Remember the Rosh with the Rimagash? Miga da Azal Amrina, Pefer Shigamar. So he asked you a question, Rabbi Yisai. How did anybody let me get away with the Bababas da Flamid Vav? If you knew this, I just told you this Miga da Azal 2 days ago. Right? Didn't we just talk about this 2 days ago, 3 days ago, Miga da Azal? How come anyone didn't stop me? So what's the shot? If Miga da Azal is no good, how come it works in da Flamid Vav?
Someone gets so raised by Allah, but here the guy, his goats just ate his own property. He's mad at the guy. Maybe he'd be.
You think that Migo Azza, Itai thinks Migo Azza means that I'm not going to be mayor because a guy did me a favor. right? Because you were convinced from Rashi. But Tosfos from Kama says that's not the migul to Azmi. The Azmi is because the guy knows that I'm lying through my teeth. That's the migul. That's the chutzpah. Machloek is nuchas chutzpah. No. What's the difference, Rabbi Say? Mitaychaim Yakusha. What do you have to say? So there's a pizman and the Rishonim how to solve this problem. This is not my kasha. There's a Rad, a Yosef. The standard answer to this question is very simple. Sometimes migul to Azmi works, and sometimes migul to Azmi doesn't work. Here's the phrase, Rabbi Say. Migul da azar liftar mishvua loy amrinan. Migul da azar liftar mimamon amrinan. Adkan divri harishonim. To answer this question, man shtana lamed vav about the easy and the chushlas from Rabbah. Those are the two questions. Those are the two gemaras that contradict each other. Rabbah's famous statement indicates migul da azar loy amrinan, and Baba Basa lamed vav indicates migul da azar kein amrinan. What's the answer? Come to Rishonim and say migul da azar splits. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's no good. In Mammon it's good. In Shvuah, liftar mishvuah, it's no good. Like reminiscent a little bit of Rimei Gash. Not quite. The Rimei Gash says every migul doesn't work liftar mammon. We're saying that the Rimei Gash is not right, but he's partially right. It means if it's a migul da azar, it doesn't work liftar mishvuah. Everybody say, anyone want to explain to you what's going on? Is this Sisri Torah? Sisri Torah, remember Sisri Torah, remember Shachit, the Migo works, it doesn't work. It's a famous word from Rabbi Chanan. Rabbi Chanan Kabachiru, Michalik Bey says, you know what the Yisoid is? The Yisoid goes back to the ABCs of Migo. That's what I'm talking to you now because we spoke about this 100 times already this year. What are the ABCs of Migo? Migo is either a Birur, or it's a Chusatayin of some form, or may really be both. Quite possibly that it's both. It's a combination of both. Migo has two dimensions to it. It's a Birur and it's a Chusatayin. In order to Patim Yishvua, what must the Migo be? In order to have that ability to be Patim Yishvua, it must have the Koch of Birur to it. If you would hold that Migo is only a Chusatayin, then it's not going to Patim Yishvua, which is of course Hushita, as we said already a few times. That's the Rimei Gash, right? We spoke about this last semester. So, in order to subscribe to Shita Sataisa, Shita Sarash, that Migo works Lifta Mishvua, you have to accept that there's a dimension of Migo called Duchas Birur. Shvua requires a Birur, Migo suffices for that degree of Birur, Shalom Yisrael. Says Rabbi Chanan, a Migo da Oz is no good. Which dimension of Migo da Oz is no good? Which dimension of Migo is no good when it's a Migo da Oz? What are you lacking in a migul da'azah? You're lacking in the birur shabo. What's the birur? The birur is, mistam I'm telling the truth. Because if I would have wanted to lie, I could have easily lied. So we made a study, the psychological study indicated, the statistic indicated, that people who could have easily lied would have lied. A migul da'azah undoes that study. Why? Because I could not have easily lied. A migul da'azah, by very definition, means I could not have easily lied. I don't want to be a b'ma chutzuf. So whenever you have a migul da'oz on your hands, you're lacking in the birur shabo. Are you lacking in the zchus ha'tayna shabo? Is there anything wrong with what's the problem with zchus ha'tayna? L'maisev, I would have said it. I would have been a big mechutzah, but I would have said I would have won. So if migul works b'tam koech ha'tayna, b'tam zchus ha'tayna, it doesn't make a difference whether it's a migul da'oz or not. Migul da'oz is a pege. Migul da'oz undermines the birur shabo, but it doesn't undermine the zchus ha'tayna shabo. So says Rabbi Chanan, now put all the pieces of the puzzle together. When you have a migul da'aza to try to pota mishvua, imagine you're going to come forward with a migul da'aza trying to get out of a shvua. I'm a rabba. You're going to use a migul da'aza to get out of a shvua, smaydim and mixes. So to get out of a shvua, which dimension of migul must you be working with? To get out of a shvua, you got to come with hukus birur. Because chus ha'tayin is lomal of lomay. Chus ha'tayin is not going to help you to get out of a shvua. You need a birur. What's the problem? When you have a migul da'aza, what are you lacking? You're lacking the birur. Therefore, a migul da'aza lifta mishvua layamrina. It is inconceivable that a migul da'aza is going to get you out of a shvua because of manushach. The koach ha'tayna shabo never gets you out of a shvua. The birur shabo is lost because it's a migul da'aza. So a migul da'aza lifta mishvua layamrina. But if all you want to do is not to get out of a shvua, you just want to get out of paying money. Now it's a whole different story. All you want to do is get out of paying money, Rabbi Zahi. Then what? You don't have to go with the root of birur. You can go straight with the root of koach ha'tayna, zchus ha'tayna. When you're in the realm of zchus ha'tayna, does it make a difference whether there's ha'aza or not? Ha'aza is l'mal of the meir. Ha'aza is a peygem. Ha'aza is a chisaron in the birur shabo. It's not a chisaron in zchus ha'tayna shabo. And therefore, says Rabbi Chanan, we could put a spin of logic as to why this klal exists that the Rishonim developed. What my high? The Rishonim all developed this klal. The Midah Da'az Aliftah Mishmula. Midah Midah Da'az Aliftah Raman Kain Amidah. That was the resolution to the steer between Lamed Vav of the Izlis and Rabbah's Maidah Mitzvah. That was the chiluk. What's the lumdus? Rabbi Chanan throws this lumdus around. The lumdus of the chiluk, the underpinning of this chiluk is based on the fact there are two dimensions of Migo. Migo of Biror is necessary for Shvua. Whenever it's Ha'ozah, you're lacking in that Biror. Migo lift the Mimamun, you don't have to come on to Chesbir, you can come on to Chesatayin. Chesatayin is not limited by being Ha'ozah. Again, this is an aside, this is not our main part of our sugya. The whole of the Yadam, the Izis, we can't leave them behind.
We're just assuming that it's also Migo Ha'ozah with the Soman as well, even though it's not the Bachelor. Meaning, the Rabbah is. He's saying, Rabbi Arsharsham is saying to the Soman, which one would be Abi, but is that necessarily Migo Ha'ozah? The kids don't know what the problem is.
Okay, that's a whole difference. Right. Is that, wouldn't it make a difference because it's... Oh, you mean it's trying to pass it, I'm sure.
Even so, it's not Ha'ozah because...
Right, okay, right. Could be. Okay, so basically getting back to the main story over here. So we're still trying to understand. We're learning three words for the last 2 days. That's all we're learning. Ochla Shir Zuzi. Why did Rabbi Bashashman have to eat the fruit first? We have the Migah Lahotzi angle, we have the Migah Lifta Mishvus and Oatman angle, now we have today's angle of Migah Ramam Lamam. That's all Rabbeinu Yonah has given us. They go to his cousin, comes to the Ramban. Comes to Ramban and says, I give you another pshat. With a whole new pshat, why it was necessary for Rabbi Bashashman to eat the fruit first. Comes to Ramban and says, the answer is a klal that we discussed way, way back. Back to the first semester. We spoke about the klal of Ein Mekablim Eidus, what? Shlo Bifnei Baal Din. Remember that? Where did we talk about that? Ein Mekablim Eidus, Shlo Bifnei Baal Din. Remember the sugya of the neighbors, the Sochrim, right? Remember? Okay. Ein Mekablim Eidus, Shlo Bifnei Baal Din has two applications in halacha. One is physically Shlo Bifnei Baal Din. If the guy is a mamish not here. And what's the other application? The Gemara in the end of Baba Kam, the beginning of the 10th paragraph of Baba Kam, what does the Gemara say? Another application of Eimakam Eitzlo Fei Baal Din is that the Baal Din are what? Aptanim. So Klatan is Shlo B'fun of Dami. So under normal circumstances, you cannot be Makabal Eidim Shlo B'fnei Baal Din. Comes the Ramban. What does that mean, you keep in Makabal Eidim B'fnei Baal Din? Where does that come from? Where does that all come from? What's the Makabal who remembers? Who are the Baal of Eishmanim? Now, the case of Shamua, it happens to be talking about Edim, that's true. But it's much deeper than that. It doesn't just mean that you can't have two guys spazier into Beis Din and testify the Baal Din's not here. That's true. But Edim is only an illustration of a greater phenomenon, of a more all-encompassing halacha. What is that? What is the halacha? What's the basic halacha? You can't run a what? How can you start to bring proofs against somebody else, but the other guy is what? The other guy's not there to potentially refute the proofs. Eidim are just one example of a raya that the Torah says, Ein Mekablim Eidus Shlo B'fnei Baal Din, but it's not dafka Eidim, it's not limited to two walking people who serve as witnesses. Ein Mevi'in Raya L'Beis Din Shlo B'fnei Baal Din. How can you be down on somebody? How can you bring rayas against them if he's not there to deflect your rayas? Eidim shouldn't be interpreted as a gzeiros hakosa bi'alma. It refers to all other kinds of rayas as well. That's the Ramban's leap of faith. Comes Ramban and says, what's an example of a raya? We've been learning chesabatim long enough. What's an example of a raya? Two Eidim is a raya. Eidecha is a raya. Rov is a raya. Chazova. What's another raya? What's another tool you could sometimes use to win a din Torah as a raya? Migo is a good raya. Migo sometimes is effective in Beis Din. I want to present a Migo right now. I'm going to use my Migo right now, and the other guy's sleeping. The other guy's not here. The other guy's in China. Says the Ramban, that will be a violation of the din of what? Of Ein Mekablim Eidus Shlo B'fnei Baal Din. There's going to be a violation of that klal of Ein Mekablim Eidus Shlo B'fnei Baal Din. You want to go ahead and bring Eidim to get money from somebody, and he's not here? You can't bring Eidim. You can't bring Eidim. You can't bring Migo either. That's Nichlal the Gzeh. I never in a million years would have said this. But that's the Halakha Ramban learned Pshat in a Pasuk, Chumash Pasuk Mishpatim. For Huad Bev'Allah V'Loish Merenu Zakhtar Ramban, what that Pasuk is really saying is not limited to Eidos, it encompasses all kinds of Rayas, including Migo. So now comes Ramban and says, let's play out the Din Torah now, not using Rav Bashashim's ultimate scheme. So let's say Rav Bashashim would have been straightforward. I would have come at the end of the Shnei Mishkanta, and you have these Yisraelim over here, these little kids over here, and Rav Bashashim would have walked at the base and said, listen, I want to collect these guys' money. I want my $10,000. Why? Beis Din said, we can't give you $10,000. You have to take a shvua. Because after all, ain't government to see a son below shvua. So the guy says, Rav Bashashim says, no, I don't have to take a shvua. I have a raya that's going to support me. What's the raya? Three letter word. Migo. What's Beis Din's next line, everybody say? I don't want to hear you, Migos. We can't accept Migos. We can't register Migos in Beis Din. You know why? The Baal Din's not here. Where's the Baal Din? Sitting in the corner playing with his blocks. He's a Khatan. He's not here. We can't register Migo in Beis Din because the Baal Din is not here. Thank you very much. Rav Bashashim, you don't have a Migo. What do you have? You have a Shtar Mashkanta that says that the time is up. What would we like from you? We'd like you to please get lost. Please get off the land. You have no right to be in that land. Yishtar Mashkant is up. It's finished. Come back in 10 years from now. Come back in 10 years from now. When the kids are older, they're over by mitzvah, they can now stand in front of a Beis Din. Come back and we'll talk in 10 years. So Kachava, Rav Bashashim goes away, goes sits in the kollel for another 10 years, comes back, and he says to Beis Din, Beis Din, right now, I have an unbelievable Migo. What's my Migo? Believe me that I could collect the money from these guys without a shvua. Believe me, why? Because Migo, I could have said, this land is the Kulcha B'Yadi. What does Beis Din say? What does Beis Din say? What land is the Kulcha B'Yadi? You're not even sitting on the land anymore. You've been out of there for 10 years. So Rav Bashashim starts to fump. What does he say? No, no, no. Believe me that the Yisam owe me $10,000, I don't want to take a shvua. Migo, that 10 years ago I could have said, what? I could have said it was Lakuchi Biyadi. I could have, 10 years ago I could have. Rabbi said, what do we call that? Thank you very much. That's a Migalim Afreya, Migalim Afreya Loyamrina. Comes Rabban and says, that's the problem. That's why Rabbi Bashashim couldn't go that route. Rabbi Bashashim was too smart for that. He knew that if he's going to end up coming forward at the beginning, the Beis Din's not going to talk to him. They're going to take away his land and not talk to him. He's screaming, I got amigo, I have amigo, amigo. The Beis Din is going to say, I don't care what you have. You could have two Eidim, and we still won't talk to you, because Eimekam Eidish Lulav Reim Baal Din. Atkan Divri HaRamban in the Sugya. That's the fourth Pshat in the Sugya. So everybody said we have four independent reasons. What is preventing the Migo from the very beginning? Why did Rabbi Shachar have to wait till he ate the fruit? What was wrong with coming forward at the beginning? What would the Chisaron of the Migo have been? Either it would have been a Migo Lahitzi, or it would have been a Migo, which would have required a Lifto Meshvua, can't use Migo Lifto Meshvua. Or it would have been a Migo Mimam Lamamam, or it would have been a violation of a Migo, Shalom Efnei Baal Din. Those are the four different Pshatim in the Rishayim.
Why does it help that he ate the Pharaohs? Because he's still using Migo.
What? How did he fix the problem? At that point, once he ate the fruit, what's he trying to do? He's trying to what? Is he trying to get any money? He's trying to keep the money. To keep money. Ramban doesn't say this, but to keep money. Who remembers? Is only to take. Remember the Beis Yosef and who was it? Who's we had Machlekes about this earlier on, right? I was wondering about this. Is Ramban taking a stand on that Machlekes? Sounds like the Ramban is saying that wouldn't be a problem because that would be Lahaksik, not Lahoitzi. Like, who's the Beis Yosef had a Machlekes with? I forgot already. Marit? Was it Marit? Marit? Who was it? I forgot already. Right? The Ktzos, right? Remember the Beis Yosef, Shechon Aruch, and the Mapir? I forgot already. Okay. Let's chaz a little bit. Rabbi say four different shatim. Beineinu. Let's be honest. All right? Is any one of these shatim absolutely all convincing? You can't disagree with any of these pshatim. I can make a case, feel like the Gemara Lahav, the Gemara, the first person, and then it says, you can make a case, the Taras Asheretz. If you ask enough kashas, you can be Mitar anything. I can knock down each one of these folks. Not any one of them is absolutely convincing to me. Mechilas Kavod, the Halakha Rishon, all three Rabbanim and the Rambans. go case by case. No problem. I'll take you all on. Comes the first teretz of Rabbeinu Yonah. It's a migel ha'itzi. What's my first response to say? First, before we get to shtar, who says migel ha'itzi doesn't work? The Raman said it works. What are you going to tell me? A Mishnah above Mitzvah that begs? Nah, I got another answer to that Mishnah. That's a migel ha'itzi. When you get the migel ha'itzi, I'll tell you it's migel ha'itzi. So I'm not impressed. Migel, someone's going to come and tell me migel ha'itzi l'armin, and I'm going to say it doesn't faze me. And just in case you want to convince me migel ha'itzi l'armin, what am I going to say to you? No, you just said it. Every shtar. And you're going to tell me shtikl tayrin is a shtar with a ktais, with a yeshivas, a mainz, a kitza. You got to make a few assumptions to go that first route of migel ha'itzi, right? But it's not the most convincing argument in the world that Rabbi Bashashim was prevented from coming forward because of migel ha'itzi, right? Everyone's masking, not the most convincing argument. Okay, let's move on. The second one's what? Of course he had to come forward. Of course he couldn't come forward at the beginning, because otherwise it would have been a problem of he still was a mechiv shvua, and whenever you're mechiv shvua, Migo doesn't get out of the shvua. Really? Who never heard of that? Who's sitting in the corner and saying, what is he talking about? Who remembers? The Rabbeinu? Rabbeinu Ephraim, with the Riff, with the Rush, with the Rimbagash. Remember from Monday, after Rishenim hope that in the case when you have a Migo, like the case of Bamitzia, when I have the Migo that this thing belongs to me, when I stole Moshe's watch on Monday, smart already, he has to keep his watch on himself. When I steal it, when I grab his watch, and now I have a Migo, so I don't have to take a Shavua, Migo works. So that was the reason why Rav Bashashim was afraid to come forward, because his Migo lifted him a Shavua. Yeah, Ben Ephraim was laughing at this. That's not the reason. So far, we're 0 for 2. Then we're going to move on to the next realm. Migo and Mama Lamama, we spent a lot of time on that. First of all, let's be real. Does everybody agree that Migo and Mamon Lamrinan? Does everybody hold that way? All the Rishonim of Matziah Dabez who gave different answers to that Mishnah as to why the guy is not believed to say Chetzer Shali probably didn't hold that way. We learned this already. Migo and Mamon Lamrinan, we're not convinced. And to make matters worse, who says this is not a mashkam? Where does it say Karak is not a mashkam? Rabbi Yonah's whole pshat was predicated on the assumption that this is different from Lach Amid Vav. How did he know that's true? The Shachshua didn't know it's true. So you know, that third pshat of Ben Yonah is a little bit shaky. It is not absolutely convincing. You know, this is, usually we try to defend Rishonim, here we're going on the attack. I'm just trying to show you that the third pshat of Ben Yonah is also not the most convincing pshat. What's the fourth pshat? The Ramban's pshat. It's a violation of a lot, a violation of Amigo, the Yekim Mekabal Eidim Shlomo Frey Balvin. I mean, first of all, this is not exactly Ein Mekabel Eidim Shlo B'fnei Baldin. This is Ein Mekabel Migo B'fnei Baldin, Shlo B'fnei Baldin, which is the Ramban's own innovation. Comes the Shit Mekubetzes and quotes in the name of the famous who? Famous Shit L'Nod L'Mi. It's so famous, I don't know who it was. The name of the Shit L'Nod L'Mi. This is a violation of Ein Mekabel Eidim Shlo B'fnei Baldin. Eimekam Eidus Shlo B'fnei Baldin means for Beis Din is going to sit down and listen and analyze the Eimekam, the Eidus, etc. Says the Shit L'Nod L'Mi, to quote a phrase from Gittin from last year. When you have a Migo, it's what? It's an Eidus Kamisha what? Nechwe Dusim of Beis Din Dami. It's just a joke, just a little joke between Gittin people. It means it's already Nech already. The Migo exists. Beis Din is not analyzed, Beis Din is not making up Eimekabos Eidus. The Migo's there already, it's on the list. Migo, Klal Migo, 97.83, subsection A, Migo, exists in the Klal Migo B'Shach. Not Makabal Eidus from scratch. This is not subject to the Din of Makam Eidus. This is who would develop. Rabbi said, next week is going to be Pasha's Mishpatim. Okay? When you get to Pasha, the Pasha, Pasha, who would develop Loish Merenu? Your immediate reaction is going to be, oh, that Pasha is teaching me, it can't be Makabal Amigo Shlo Frey Baldin. Give me a break. Okay? So, the Ramban is a tremendous finish. So, Rabbi Say, you know, very uncharacteristically, I just knocked out Rabbi Yonah number one, Rabbi Yonah number two, Rabbi Yonah number three, the Ramban. No pshat in the Rishonim is absolutely ironclad. Every pshat has its holes. Rabbi Say, it's perhaps all of these problems. Every pshat here has a certain way. Every pshat may be right. I'm not going to say it's not. But every pshat has a weakness to it. Every pshat has a hole in it. That led one of the G'dayli HaRishonim to a radically different pshat than everybody else we've seen for the last 2 days. And who was that? The Rimagash. Remember him? We know a little bit about him. One who was almost Makabel Torah, except that it was given already. Those who weren't in Shilas Semester. The Rif said about him, if he would have lived in Moshe Rabbeinu's generation, it would have been a toss-up. Who would have been Makabel Torah? Something like that. I don't know exactly what he said, but something like that. At least that's the way the legend goes. What did the Rimagash say, Rabbi, say in Pshat Nagamara? What does the Rimagash say? So the Rabbi quotes the Rimagash. So-and-so. Comes the Rimagash and says, who says that Rabbi Bar Shashim ate the fruit already? Who said? Who said he ate the fruit? Who said he didn't come forward at the beginning? Who said it? Who? Rabbi Yonah. Where did Rabbi Yonah get it from? What? What? Ochel Shir Zuzik. Mi Amar El Mi. Ochel Shir Zuzik. Who is talking? Ochel Shir Zuzik. We thought Ochel Shir Zuzik is Rabbi Bar Shashim scheming in the privacy of his own home. He's telling his wife, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be Ochel Shir Zuzik, and then in 10 years from now, I'm going to have this great amigo, and I'm going to win the case. That's what we thought it meant. Ochel Shir Zuzik, right? What does Rimagash say Ochel Shir Zuzik means? Who's he talking to? What? To who? To the base. Rabbi Shashim is an honest, straightforward guy. He's not conniving, he's not scheming behind closed doors. He's coming forward to Beis Din exactly when the Shtar Mashkanta is over. And he's saying, listen, I'm telling you what my plan is. My plan is the following. I am about to go be Oichel the Shir Zuzei because I have a Migo right now. Right now I have a Migo. And the Rimagash learns that's exactly what the story was. I mean, you realize that according to Rimagash, we spent 2 days trying to solve a problem that doesn't exist. We spent 2 days trying to understand why did Rabbi Bar Shashim do this instead of doing that? The answer is, he didn't do this instead of doing that, he did that. He did exactly what Rabbi Yon and the Ramban said he didn't do. That's exactly what he did, says the Rimagash. So Rabbi said, you realize the significance of this Pshad Rimagash in this, his new fangled Pshad, Ochel Shir Zuzei, just threw out in one fell swoop all those considerations. According to the Rimagash, none of the above are true. Nothing is true that we said. Migul Haitzi, maybe it's as good, maybe Migul Haitzi is good, maybe it's a shtar, maybe it's a this, maybe it's a mishvur, maybe it's a this, maybe it's a blah, blah. Every problem that we had, every Rishon we had four pshat and three Rabbeinu Yonah and one Ramban, as to why Rabbi Bar Shashim didn't come forward, the Rimagash said, none of the terutzim are correct. Because he did come forward. So that's quite a different pshat in the Gemara. So Rabbi say, at the end of the day, we have five different mahalchim in the Gedolei HaRishonim, and we could see that just the same three words, don't we read? Ochel Shir Zuzik. Everything revolved around what the facts were and why the facts were the way they were. But in doing so, in just in understanding this pshat, doesn't matter. At the end of the day, what Rabbi Shashim did, I don't know, I don't have Baruch HaKadosh. Chiras Meis, Bacham Eves HaMishon, we'll ask Rabbi Shashim when he said his Migo. But at the end of the day, this sugya has opened up our eyes, hopefully, there's so many klolim. Some of the klolim that we spoke about a little bit in the past, we've had a chance to elaborate upon. Some of the klolim that we've seen new. We had a chance to touch on Migul Hotzi. We had a chance to touch on Migul Hotzi Makom Shtar. We had an issue of Migul Liftam Mishvua. We had the issue of Migul Mamon Lamamon. We had the issue of Migul Makom Shlomo Fnei Baal Din. We had five different klolim within Migo that all came to light, all came together in trying to analyze what Rabbi Shachin did or did not do.